to 2 Kings, and then I am going to sing a hymn. Yeah, pray for me. When the weather changed, my sinus changed right along with it. So it's been doing some crazy stuff here. But to God be the glory.
Yes.
So just put your finger at 2 Kings chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 10. Take your seats in the presence of the Lord, and on your way to your seat, tell your neighbor, trust the process.
Trust the process.
All right.
And I'm just going to teach if I can. At least that's the way it'll start off. And we have to trust the process. We have to know that God is in control. He's in control of it all. It may not make sense. It may not look like it, but God is in the process. And we have to trust the process. And when we talk about the word trust, it's the assured reliance on the character, the ability, the strength, or the truth of someone or something. Mm-hmm. We have to admit sometimes that trust can get a little difficult. If you just be truthful to yourself, sometimes it's hard to trust God. And sometimes when it doesn't look like it should, yeah. You start doubting and you start saying, what else, or what about, we start questioning God. We have trust issues. Mm. But it's easy to trust God when all is going well.
All right.
But we have to know that it's part of the process. We have to know that God said he'll never leave us, nor will he forsake us.
Yeah.
It's a part of the process. So each process, everything that we do in life has a process. I don't care what it is, it's a process. When I met my spouse, we didn't just get married. It was a process. We dated a while. All that's the process. Even when you go get your marriage license, there's a process. Everything is a process in life. Good, being bad, it's a process. Even when you're going to have surgery, you don't just go bust up in there and go have surgery. It's a process. So we not to know that, and even in raising our children, it's a process.
That's right.
Coming this morning to church was a process. God tests us, if there's no way around the process. He lets us know that there is no way around the process. We have to go through the process.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And when we look at that word through, it means to move in one side and out the other side. I'm not here to stay, but I have to go through. Psalms 23 and 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death.
Right.
So
right.
The Bible lets us know that we have to go through it. He says, don't get weary in well doing.
That's right.
Because in due season, you'll reap if you faint not.
That's right.
So you have to trust the process. Before we look at Naaman, and that's who we're going to talk about today, Brother Naaman. But before we get to Naaman, the woman with the issue of blood, she had to trust the process.
That's right.
12 long years. See, we don't want to suffer and we don't want to go through anything. But she had to trust the process 12 years, but she pressed her way.
All right.
When you go in school, they start at pre-K, you can't just jump to fifth grade. It's a process. And in each one of the processes, when you're in pre-K, they're getting you ready for pre-K 4. Every time we go through a process, it's teaching us how to handle the next situation. And how to handle the next situation. See, if the woman with the issue of blood had have given up in the process, then she wouldn't have never gotten her healing. See, we're right at the door. God says we're right at the door of our breakthrough. But then we get weary. We give up. We get depressed. We go away. We stop. But God says you're right at the door of your breakthrough. You're right at the door of your miracle. So don't give up. I think back when I begin to think about this thing, and I thought about Kobe Bryant. And y'all might think about somebody else. I don't know. Kobe Bryant, when he was playing basketball back then, he got hurt. He played. He didn't sit down. He wanted to play in this particular game. Why? It's because he wanted to win. Can I tell you something? We've already won.
Right.
So don't give up, because we've already won. So it says that when we're going through, there's a teaching in the process. We should get wiser and wiser. We should learn more and more.
Alright.
You might have people that say you act like you all that, Brother Bruce. You know, he stated it earlier and said, you might act like you're holier than thou, but it should be a change in the process. First Corinthians said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. But when I became an adult, when I became a man, when I became mature in the word, then I put aside childish things.
That's right.
So there should be a difference in our life.
That's right.
Yeah.
There should be a difference. We should have a better understanding. We should have a better mindset. See, the Bible says trust God with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding, because your understanding is going to say it hurts too bad. Your understanding is going to say, I can't do it. It's too hard. The process is too hard. But sometimes God has to crush us. He's pulling back layers of our life. He has to build us up. If the woman with an issue of blood had it given up, it's easy to give up. It's easy to say, I'm not going to do this. But we have to press toward the mark.
Right.
Philippians 3 and 14 says, press toward the mark. You got to pursue after. That word press means to pursue after.
Yeah.
Or to run swiftly towards. I have to press my way through some things. Because why? The prize is on the other side. He didn't say the prize wasn't there. I told you we've already won. So my prize is on the other side. So all I have to do is press my way. Because he said he'll never leave me nor forsake me. So that lets me know that even though I'm going through the process, God is in the process.
Amen.
All right.
Because I'm not in this thing alone. Deuteronomy 31 and 6 says, when you say, well, how do you know he's in the process? I'm glad you asked. Deuteronomy 31 and 6 says, be strong and courageous.
Mm-hmm.
Do not be afraid and don't panic. For the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will never fail you nor abandon you. Somebody say, God is in the process.
God is in the process.
So, don't you know that if God is in the process, we're not going through this thing alone. We can't be of the world. I heard somebody say, we're in the the world, but we can't be of the world. We can't be of the world and the church. You can't do both. Because it gets confusing. You'll start loving one more and hating the other. Revelations 3 and 16 says, so because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. So that lets us know we have to be either all for God or either all in the world. It's not two ways. You can't party on the Saturday and come on Sunday. You can't do the both. I know it seems popular. I know it's what the world is doing, but that's the thing about it. That's what the world is doing. We're just in the world, but we're not of the world.
That's right.
We're to walk with God.
That's right.
And wherever God is, that's where we is.
Yeah.
So we have to work the process. Naaman. We're going to talk about Brother Naaman. Brother Naaman was the commander of the army. Ben-Hadad was the king in this particular time. And Naaman was well respected. He was pleasant to look upon. He was all that in a bag of chips.
Okay.
Naaman went to the 24-hour fitness. Naaman was good to look upon. He see, the commander wasn't just anybody. In order to get to the commander, there was a process. The commander has to be a leader. He has to be a motivator. He has to have the ability to act quickly and make decisions under pressure. He was held in favor because of his victories that God brought him through.
Yeah.
It wasn't nothing that he did on his own, but Naaman was proud. Naaman had the big head because he knew he was all of that. So God has to bring us down.
Mm-hmm.
He has to humble us. And this is what he was doing to Naaman. He was humbling Naaman. He says, you see, Naaman was, he was the commander of this tribe, and they went to fight Israel. Now you would think, Israel being the chosen people of God, the church, who could fight against the church? And we. But God has a process. It was part of the process. Aren't you glad that God don't just leave you out there hanging?
That's right.
Naaman, even though he was fighting against Israel, God said, there's something in Naaman. Naaman had to be healed or something. Now he looks good on the outside, but on the inside, Naaman had issues. Naaman had leprosy. Young women, they might look good on the outside, but check the package out. Naaman was all of that. He was built, he was a commander, he was in charge of the army. He looks good on the outside. But on the inside, he had issues. Men, she might be a coke bottle finger, but on the inside, she could have issues. Check out the whole package. Check out the package. Just look at our scriptures. That was for free. So, Naaman, the army, they won. In other words, and I'm just going to sum it up for you. They won, and they captured this young girl. And she became the slave for Naaman's wife. But she had a message. Now, she could have been up in there mad about her circumstances. But she came with a message. See, God was setting all of this up. She came with a message and she told the wife, if Master was to go to the prophet in Israel, I'm talking about where they just left from fighting and they won. If he was to go to the prophet, he can get healed. See, she came in and she could have kept all that to herself, but she didn't. Because there was something God needed to get done. But Naaman, now it was a process for Israel too, because y'all know the problems Israel was having, what they was going through, they was disobedient. So God was showing them some things too. So Naaman, he went to the king, his king, and told him what the young girl had said, and he didn't check out the facts. He didn't really listen very well because she said it was a prophet. But his king wrote the message to the other king.
Yeah.
So Naaman gathers all of his money, all his goods, because he was the man. And he already know, if I go down here with all this stuff, I'm going to get my way. I'm going to get what I need. Now, he was confident. He went, he gathered up his army, his people, his horsemen, all his money, and on their way they went. They went to the king. He gave them the letter, just like his king told him to do. He gave him the letter. Now, king,
he started going there.
The king was trying to figure out why when he sent him a letter. King said, I'm not a god. I'm not the god. I don't heal nobody. He even forgot about the prophet was in the town, his own town. He forgot about the prophet. He grew his clothes. He started getting worried himself because he's thinking they're getting ready to come start another one. It's about to be a war. See, that's how the devil messes up our minds. When God is trying to do something in our life, we start tripping. Because God's trying to show us one thing. But then we looking at another, oh God, I don't have no money to pay my bills. I can't do this. I can't. But that's not what God wants us to think about. God wants you to know that he's in control. The king, he was going crazy. So thank God that the message got to the prophet.
Yeah.
Elisha. The message got to him, so he sent message to the king of Israel and told him, look here, tell him that there is a prophet in town. We got a prophet in town that can do this. So he went on down. He sent Brother Naaman down to the prophet's house. And look, Naaman thought, just because of who he was, oh, I know he's going to come out with his robe on. It's going to be a big ceremony going on. He's going to wave his hands, and I'm going to be healed. Because you know, and look how God kept that from the people. Now, he was an army. Just think about it. Naaman was commander of the army. Now, if anybody had have known he had leprosy, he couldn't have been around anybody.
Right.
So you see how God, he covered all of that. Not because it was okay, you know, but God was trying to get a message across.
Right.
So he went to the king, to the prophet's house, and was mad.
Right.
Naaman got upset because the prophet sent the servant to the doctor. We get messed up when we're going through, and the pastor don't come see about us. Because he sent somebody, because somebody else prayed for us, we get mad. But I wanted the pastor. God, and he sent the servant to the door. And he told him what to say. And look, even Naaman's servants had to tell him. Pastor, now if he had told you to do something big,
yeah,
then you'd have been okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
If they had told you to be on program, you'd have been all right with that. But they told you to go serve in the kitchen where can't nobody see you. Then you upset. You want to do the big thing. You don't want to do the little thing. So he got himself together. He went on down and he told him to go down to the Jordan and dip.
Yeah.
Now look, he didn't even worry, but he didn't even ask about how many times. Look what his issue was. In verse 12 it says, are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters in Israel? Let me paint you a picture. Now, Abana and Pharpar, those are the Bahamas, the pretty blue water. The Jordan is Galveston. The muddy water. So Naaman, being who he was, because y'all know he was top of the line. He was like, he couldn't tell me to go to the better water. Why do he want me to go there? Now he didn't even talk about the seven times. Now I would have thought, you know, why it takes seven times? But that wasn't even his concern. His concern was why he got me going to the muddy water. But he went. He was mad. But he wasn't going to give up because he knew what he came there for. So he went to and did exactly what the prophet told him to do.
Glory, 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 glory.
He dipped seven times. And he was healed. It's part of the process. God had a process over 2,000 years ago. from the birth. He wasn't born and went straight to the cross. No, it was a process in between. So we have to go through the process.
All right.
But don't get weary in well doing. Don't get upset about what you're going through or what you've seen or what happened. Because it's a part of the process. In order to get to heaven, y'all, it is a process. Just coming up here giving a man your heart and your hand and God your heart, that it's more to it than just coming to church. You have to live this life, this journey to get to heaven. There are instructions.
All right.
God wants us to read the instructions. We have to search the scriptures daily to find out what God has for us to do. We have to be a part of the process. If he tells me to praise, it's not going to hurt me to praise. It's part of the process. If he tells me to pay my tithes and my offerings, then they'll do that because there's a benefit. It's something behind it. That's what the service was trying to tell Naaman. Yeah, he's telling you to do that because it's a benefit behind you dipping in the Jordan.
Yeah.
He's just telling you that, just to be telling you that. We ain't telling you to praise and return to fifth cobweb trying to get you to praise for nothing. Because he inhabits the praises of his people. When we want something from God, God inhabits, he loves it. It makes him move. When we begin to praise, it makes him move. It brings the glory. The glory gonna come in, but just think about if all of us did it collectively. How much faster the glory will fall. How much more lives will be healed. How much more people will be delivered. How much more. If we collectively praise God.
Amen.
And we don't have to beat it and kill ourselves trying to tell you to praise God. There's benefits in the praise.
That's
all I'm trying to tell you. There's benefits in the praise. So Naaman thought his money could get him what he wanted. Y'all don't have to have no money. God says, I'm going to bless you. He ain't even asking for all of that stuff. If we would just give our lives to God and give God what God deserves, which is praise and adoration. We praise everything and everybody else but God.
All right.
We lift everybody else up but God. If we give God the praise like we give each other praise, man, God would, you would see the difference if you just bless God. Because God is in control of everything. We might as well do it now because we're going to have to do it in the end.
That's right.
All right.
When the flood came, everybody wanted to pray.
Yeah.
You couldn't beat people praying. You couldn't beat people trying to help. But if we did that every day, if we go to God in prayer every day, we ain't got to worry. We ain't got to be worried about nobody. Worrying about if the water gonna come in our house, because we know that God is in control.
Amen.
We know that he got us, because we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture.
Yeah.
All we have to do is give him the praise.
Yeah.
All we got to do is worship him. All we got to do is live right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hallelujah. We will get what God has for us. We ain't got to beat down no dogs. We ain't got to knock nobody over. Because God is going to give you what is due to you.
Yeah.
And can't nobody take it from
you.
It's that what God has for you. Our sister played the song on the other day. What God has for you, it is for you.
Yeah.
So you can't. One thing about it, you can't beat me praising God. Because I know who God is. And once you learn who God is, it's easy to bask in his presence. It's easy to tell him how wonderful he is. How awesome he is. I watched the blood of the cities on the other day. But he kept me. He kept my family. right here. He know what he's doing. God knows what he's doing. But name of God in himself, we got to come out ourselves, because it's not about us. It's all about God. Don't let the devil get in your mind and trip you up like he did the king of Israel. Had him all nervous and thinking that he about to start a war. That man was coming there for a whole different purpose. He trying to get his hand, the king in there, thinking he about to go to war. But he was coming there for something. But that's how the devil does us. He gets us all depressed.
Bless you, Lord.
Naaman even got depressed in his stuff. He out there trying to figure out what's going on. I'm sitting out here, I'm waiting. I don't know how long he had to wait, but he's waiting. Because the king didn't come out his door going to get, you know, the prophet. But sometimes we got to wait. We got to wait on God. We can't always take matters in our own hands. Because we're going to have to go back to God anyway in the end. So we got to seek God in everything. But Naaman was excited about his healing. Naaman was excited. And we got to be excited about God, because we know that God is going to fix it. God can do exceedingly abundantly above anything that we can ever ask something. I don't care what the doctor said. God is a healer. He promised me that he'll heal my body. He promised me that he's Jehovah Rapha. He's the God who healeth me. He's Jehovah Jireh. He supplies all of my needs. So God will do just that.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
God is our protector. He's our keeper. He keeps us from dangers seen and dangers unseen.
That's right. That's right.
So don't fret. God said, I got you.
Thank you, Lord.
I got you. But we have to learn how to go through. We have to go through, because it's not going to always be bad situations. It's not going to always be hard. It's just the fact that you have to do it. You can't get a ask for a six-figure job if you don't put the work in.
All right.
If you don't go get a college degree, don't ask for a six-figure job. Now, if you can get one without that, let me know. I know God can do it, but not while you sitting at home doing nothing.
All right.
You got to go and get a little education. You got to go through the process. There is a process. When Jesus was born, he was born a babe in a manger. He grew up. His parents taught him, took him every day to the temple. He was learning. And that's what we do every day. We're learning. God is teaching us. He's teaching us.
That's right.
So when he became of age, when they went back to look for him, when he separated from his parents, guess where he was? In the temple. Because that's what he knew. He was learning. He already knew what to do. God was setting it up. And when he went on into his life and walked this journey, it was a process. Even the day of crucifixion, it was still a process. Jesus said, not my will, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. If this is how it's about to be, God, it's your will. You do what you want to do. And Jesus died on the cross for our sins, because it was part of the process.
That's right.
He stayed there. It could have happened in one day, but God designed it for 3 days. Because they thought they had it. But on the third day morning, Jesus got up. With all power in his hands. Aren't you glad of the process? That God is in the process? I'm so glad that he keeps me through the process. And just like Naaman, he didn't expose the Naaman. And some of our stuff, if God was to expose us today, my God, well, nobody want to be our friend. They'll walk us and leave us if God was to expose some of our mess. So I thank God that he don't expose you. He didn't expose Naaman. He didn't let them know that Naaman had leprosy. He never looked like it on the outside. I can walk around here and you will never know that people are sick. You will never know that we're going through anything. Because God keeps us.
All right.
He covers us. We don't look like what we've been through. I'm so grateful to God that we don't look like what we've been through.
That's right.
And God wants us to know that in spite of this process, he's in the process. Standing on your feet all over the building, give God praise.
Hallelujah.
I know that it's part of the process. If you're in this place today,